Blog Talk Radio.
I found Jesus, he was holding on to me. I was broken and couldn't stand on my own 2 feet. He said a word and broke my chains. I was free to breathe again. My life was saved by the love and blood of Jesus. And I found Jesus, he was standing over me. I was down and out and living on the streets. And there were times I could have died, sure, but the Lord was by my side. I didn't know it then, but I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. He took a weight off my shoulders. He came and gave me a rest. He gave me peace from my troubles. Oh Lord, I have been blessed. When I found Jesus, he was walking next to me. On the lonely path of my mind made destiny. He must have looked into my eyes, saw the tears and heard my cries. But where I stood, I was saved by the blood of Jesus. The empty promises of the world had forsaken me. Left me in a wilderness. It was Jesus who rescued me. He called my name. I would never be the same. Just one touch from the King of Kings changed everything. When I found Jesus, he was heavy on my heart. I was lost for words and didn't know where to start. All I know is I believe, but more than that I did receive. For my sins were paid by the love and blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. He threw the weight off my shoulders. He came and gave me rest. He gave me peace from my troubles. Oh Lord, I have been blessed. Oh Lord, I have been blessed.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon. Welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report. Every time I hear this young man, we have a saying in the Pentecostal church that, you know, when we hear good singing, I'm ready to get saved all over again. this young man has such, what are we going to call it, an anointing to sing. He really knows how to deliver the word of God by means of song. And this young man has the God-given grace to stir your heart to draw closer to God. His name is Steph McLeod, and the song is entitled "When I Found Jesus." And you know, as when you listen to the song, the title kind of gives you the notion or the idea that he was looking for Jesus, but really, Jesus was looking for him. Jesus looks for us, as he shares in the song. When I found Jesus, he was standing right next to me. Why? Well, not because he was looking for Jesus, but when Jesus found him, he just happened to notice that Jesus was there. What a great song. What a great, great, great song. If you ever feel down and out, if you ever feel abandoned, if you ever feel like you're alone, nobody loves you, play this song, and you will be so encouraged to know that Jesus is right by your side. He loves his sheep. That's the amazing thing about Jesus. He loves his sheep. He laid down his life for his sheep. Great selection, Sister Marie. Well, she's already in studio. We're set to go. This is going to be another fantastic broadcast, another fantastic show, another fantastic time together in the Lord. Why? Because, listen, we don't pull any punches. We don't dance around the issues. We just come straight out. You know our position. You know where we stand. We're no-nonsense broadcasters. We just like to mix it up and duke it out and contend for the faith. That's what we like to do. And this is one of those shows. It's one of those series where we get to do that. And Sister Marie has been sharing on Black Lives Matter and how it is trying to be a church, the church of Black Lives Matter. And we know, based on two previous broadcasts, that they're into hoodoo, they're into voodoo, they're into Santeria, they're into ancestral worship, they're into a whole bunch of stuff, demonic stuff. So without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister. If I can get this mouse to work. Okay, come on, mouse, do your thing. How you doing, my dear sister?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I just got saved all over again by listening to Steph McLeod. I rededicated my heart to Jesus once I heard that song. It's like here comes the tears that's streaming down my face. I just want to run to Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
Just want to run to Jesus and give my heart all over again to the Lord.
Absolutely.
You know, you go
very
to church.
Touching.
Yeah. Listen, you go to church. And I'm talking about the Pentecostal church, right? You go to the Pentecostal church, and if you go to Joel Osteen's Praise and Worship on Sunday morning, let's visit Paula White's church with the organ grinding husband that she has, Jonathan Cain. You listen to their worship, and you're saying, "Oh my God, I'm in an asylum. This is a nut house. This place is a crazy house." With the light shows and the smoke machines and the screaming and the shouting and the yelling and, you know, let's set up the atmosphere. What are you setting up the atmosphere for? This is a loony bin. This is worship. What we just heard now, that was worship. That was a psalmist in action, right?
Yes, he writes all those songs. It's amazing.
Look at that.
Experiences. Yeah, he writes them and sings them. I mean, you know, like we said the first time, it's like listening to, you can imagine David singing like that. You know, you really can.
Sure. Absolutely.
When you listen to him.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Fantastic
testimony, too.
Is he here in the United States or is he abroad?
He's from Scotland. Yes.
Okay.
Not here, Scotland.
Is he in the States or? All right. So
he's still over in Scotland. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I would, you know, reach out to this guy. Maybe we can get him on a show.
Maybe,
reach out to him.
Yeah.
See if it will sing one song for us live. You know?
Yeah, that would be nice.
And talk to him a little bit and find out about his background and just an old Pentecostal conversion, you know, where the Holy Spirit moves and just saves a soul.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, see if
I'm
you
sure
can
I
reach
can
out
that.
To. You got connections over there in England. You're so tight with the Queen.
Forget it.
You're so tight over there. You know, you got the connections. By the way, how's Chico doing?
I got connections.
Yeah,
Chico's doing fine. He's on a walk today. On a car ride today because the weather's not that great. So he's on a car ride with his. His daddy and his sister.
Sure.
He's home again. I mean, they've had a 3-week layoff where my husband works because they're short on the chip.
These car
chips, computer chips. So.
Sure.
So he's been going out for walks and car rides while I do other things.
Right.
You know, work on the show.
Sure.
Or whatever. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chico is the man. Chico's the man. He's the dog that gets to go on vacation and see buffaloes that are 50 times his size. And,
he's a trip.
Yeah.
He's funny. He's just funny. He's one of those dogs that keeps you laughing all the time because he does goofy stuff. And he's such a pest to his sister. He just antagonizes his sister. And she's old. She's fed up with him already.
Right.
But he's funny, but then he can be so loving to her, you know.
Sure.
He just goes from one extreme to the other. He's a cuddle bug.
Absolutely. That's like my son Daniel.
Or a ripper.
My son Daniel, he annoys his sister. Oh, does he annoy him? He annoys his sisters. And then every now and then, like when he gets paid on Fridays, now, of course, you know, my son has autism, so he's in a job training program where he doesn't get paid. He doesn't get paid.
Right.
But we like the fact that he's out of the house for 8 magical hours. So when he comes home from his last day, his mother takes him to the bank, and he thinks he's getting paid, but his mother's taking out $50 out of her account to, you know, give him his pay. So on Fridays...
Right.
Because every time he goes up to the teller, he says he wants 50 singles. He doesn't like 20s. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like 10s. He wants singles.
Yeah.
So the lady already has, she already has the singles already set aside for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes back thinking he's a big spender, and he buys his sister's pizza on Fridays.
Wow.
So he after annoying them all week long, he treats them to pizza on Friday, thinking that that's going to make up for all the annoyance, you know. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't make up for anything he's done to them. But he thinks it does.
Yeah.
He thinks it gives him credit. And, he gets 50 singles. So the pizza's like $32 because they get a monster-sized pizza. And that'll last them for the evening. And, you know, Friday nights, they stay up till late. So they can be eating pizza at 3 in the morning, hanging out. So a monster size is like 30. So he's counting 32 singles. And then by the time he pays for the pizza, he's got only $18 left.
That's pretty cool.
He's the big spender. Yeah, he's the big spender, you know.
Yeah.
He gets a kick out of that. And That's it. Yeah. Big brothers always annoy their sisters, always. Or little brothers.
Always.
Whether big brother, medium, you know, in the middle brother. Brothers have a way of annoying their sisters and like no one else. You know?
Yeah.
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 I'll give you an amen for that.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
I have two. One died, but I have three brothers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So
we're getting into this series on Black Lives Matter, which
mm-hmm.
has been an eye-opener for me, because when they first
mm-hmm.
appear on the scene, I'm watching them on the news, and they're protesting the death of this person, and they're protesting the death of that person. And on the surface, they just look like another political activist group. But
mm-hmm.
based on the series that you've been doing, they are much more than that. And
yes.
I've gotten an education in this series because, I think most of us, we really don't realize who these groups are and what they represent until you
mm-hmm.
start digging.
Yes.
Right? Until you start digging. And so set this up for us here as we go into today's broadcast.
Okay. Well, we're going to continue with the audio. The Church of BLM. Now, this was done by Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker's Thinking Ministries. Let's do a short review, if we can, of the movement. When we played the first audio, Black Lives Matter, with a question mark, we learned from their own words that BLM is a LGBTQ affirming group that was run by Marxists. I mean, so that alone should tell a person who calls himself a Christian not to be involved with the group. Now, having
right.
said that, like you said, we understand that many have associated themselves with the group out of ignorance, not because they're ignorant. They just didn't dig, and get information on the group and to find
right.
out what BLM really believes. So that's why we're doing this series. We want to inform people so they can inform others. And basically, if you do that, you've done your part.
Right.
People
right.
can then decide what side of fence they want, what side of the fence
sure.
they want to be on. That's all you can do is inform people.
Right.
You can't make them. So that's why we're doing this series. We want you informed of what's going on behind the scenes, things that not many people will talk about out there. And that's why I'm thankful for our brothers here exposing this.
Sure.
So last week we looked at the spiritual beliefs of BLM. Now that was extremely troubling to me. If that doesn't convince people that this group will lead you into darkness, I don't know what will.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that they view themselves as a spiritual organization. That's according to their own words. They have a following. They have disciples. They have a core belief system. And that qualifies them as a secular church. They perform religious practices and have 10 tenets associated with their religious beliefs. Bro, that
wow.
sums up what we've done
right,
with this
right.
group so far. So your thoughts before I continue.
Well, again, let's take the LGBT component to this. Now,
mm-hmm.
LGBT people are very militant, right? They're very,
mm-hmm.
they're combative, right? They'll
mm-hmm.
fight you to the death. Black Lives Matter, in joining with the LGBT community or favoring them or sponsoring them, that forces or that makes LGBTQ community people want to back Black Lives Matter, because if they back us, we'll back them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that gets so.
Yeah,
so
that's
that,
a good
so,
point. Yep.
Yeah, so Black Lives Matter views that as, they will strengthen us, and if they
mm-hmm.
ever get into trouble, we'll go back them up, right? So, again,
yeah.
they're looking for support, and if you support the LGBTQ community, they will support you back. This is
mm-hmm.
one of the reasons why I believe people like T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, and other so-called evangelical preachers, and they're not evangelical, and they're not preachers. But this is why
right.
those types of evangelical preachers, side with the LGBT or are either silent or, you know, pensive about them because they
right.
have lots of those people in their churches who give big money, right?
Right.
In those interviews
yep.
where Joel Osteen was asked, you know, are you against gay people? Oh, no, we have gay people in our church. Look at me. I sound gay, right? So, so you know, Joel Osteen, he's gay affirming. How do we know he's gay
yeah.
affirming? Well, he went to that Lady Gaga thing, right? He
right.
went to that little nasty thing. And they're both
yep.
gay or sympathetic towards the gay. So
mm-hmm.
Joel Osteen and guys like TV, they're not going to rock the boat because they want more people in their boat. More people in their boat means more money. More
yeah.
money. More support, right? That's
yep.
what they're looking for. Their bottom line is the bucks. The bucks. So by Black Lives Matter doing that, that just goes to show me they're looking for manpower support because when
mm-hmm.
they do these marches, they want LGBT people to show up, and also they want
yeah.
financial support. You see? So
yes.
They're trying to widen their base. So that's one thing that
mm-hmm.
I see. The second thing that I see is, this, like you mentioned, the spiritual component. They are backed by demons. This is a demon-inspired
yeah.
organization. Now, and we can go into the different little reasons why, but let me give one reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Black Lives Matter does not care about black lives.
Yeah.
So the name is a lie in itself. Who's
right.
the father of
right
all
from
lies?
The beginning.
Right, Satan is the father of all lies. His
right.
demons promote lies. So the very name of the organization is one big fat lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. So again, you know, this is just one horrible, despicable organization that is waiting for another black person to be shot in order to use
yeah.
that tragedy as a fundraiser.
That's right. And
right?
that's so sad. Yes.
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 Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like
yes.
these preachers.
What they're for, what they say they're for, they're actually against. You know, I mean.
Right. Right. Because think about it. If you're for Black Lives Matter, okay, go into Chicago and tell those
mm-hmm.
brothers who are shooting themselves up, cut it out. You ought
yes.
to be loving one another. You ought to be helping one another. Also, stop off by those abortion clinics and tell the young black ladies that are going into these abortion clinics, don't kill your baby. Don't
yeah,
do that.
Absolutely.
Why? Because,
yeah.
first of all, you are destroying a life. You're committing murder, right? And in addition to
mm-hmm.
that, people are profiting. Think about this. People are profiteering from killing your child.
Yeah.
They're making money. Listen, the abortion clinic makes money from killing your baby.
Yeah.
Now, you mean to tell me that Black Lives Matters then? No, because
no.
they were mad when they shot George Floyd. They should be equally mad when they're killing these babies.
Yes.
But they don't
That's
care.
That's so true.
They don't
yeah.
care. You see? So, again, it's just one big fat lie. They really don't mean
mm-hmm.
what their name claims they mean. It's a hoax. It's just a big hoax.
Yeah, it's like many other. And trust me, in the white church, we have our own. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying we as, you know, an individual, but the white church is just as bad. It has all the elements of these same tenets in the white church, you know? So, only it's under a different name.
Yeah.
So, this group, they have a universal God. I went through the tenets a universal God. They believe God is a nature or force. They believe in reincarnation. They believe in honoring and consulting ancestral spirits. They believe in divination. They use blood sacrifice to elevate their prayers to their deities. They believe in magic, transformation of prayers and offerings into action. They use magic and medicinal use of herbs. They believe man can commune with God through the vehicle of trance possession. And they believe ritual, song and dance is mandatory. Those are their tenets. That's scary.
Very scary. Very scary.
You know.
Sure. Very scary.
It's certainly
again,
demonic.
Yeah.
All those are demonic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, think about this for a moment. And I know that this is going a little bit off track. But it was a couple of years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, Church of God in Christ had a Bishop Mason doll, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like an action figure doll, you know. I don't know if you've ever mm-hmm. seen those action figures that they sell at Walmart. It was a little doll of Bishop Mason. Bishop Mason was the founder of Church of God in Cash. Church of God in Christ. So
okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So they made a doll and it was supposed to be a point of contact when you prayed. Now, you see, that's ancestor worship right there.
Mhm.
In the black church.
Yep.
See? Again, you see how it creeps in? Well, this is this,
yes.
And so people start, what the heck? What is this, a doll? What you mean to tell me the denomination? Now remember, this is the biggest black church denomination that there is. So they were cranking
mm-hmm.
out these dolls like they were going out of style. And this
right.
is a Bishop Mason doll. And get yourself one,
wow.
so that you can be reminded to pray. And you know, and I mean, they didn't say
mm-hmm.
pray to it, but you can have this doll. And you know, this doll will help you pray. What?
Right.
So the outcry was so big that they stopped production and they stopped producing the dolls. But that's,
mm-hmm.
you see, even there, that's how ancestor worship was creeping in. Now these people speak in tongues, they have the anointing, they move in the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and yet, they were moving down that road.
Right.
You see? And so it was too early to produce the doll, but I'm sure in 10 years from now they'll produce the doll and there'll be no outcry because the church is becoming more and more apostate.
Right.
And, you know, and people
well,
from the Caribbean
Islands. Well, you can
see
where all this leads, can't you? You can see. I mean, look at it. What's the difference of doing that? And, like, let's look at the Word of Faith. They believe in that point of contact, too, you know,
right.
with the television,
right.
you know, with the ray, you know, cloth
sure.
and all that. It's all that point of contact. I mean, at the end of the day, when they're making dolls, and I do remember reading about that years ago.
Yeah.
About them producing that. I mean, going back, reading about what happened years ago. That's what I'm talking
right.
about.
Right.
And I was amazed. I mean, you look at the future here, and we know that the beast is going to cause people to bow down. I mean, it just seems to me that all this stuff is gearing towards that, you know.
Absolutely.
All this
Absolutely.
Worship seems to point It will end up pointing to a person, to the Antichrist, actually. This is where we're headed. They have the people so conditioned by point of contact, worshiping, you know, items
right.
and objects. And then you have this, you know, all this, you know, the vaccines, all this is all leading. ID, all this is leading, you know, to something bigger at the end of the day. And I think people will accept it by the time it's here. So many people are going to see it as a natural thing, you know, and accept it. And that's troubling to me. It is. So that's why I think all we need to look at everything that's going on around us. And, you know, especially in the church, because everything that, you know, is in the world is in the church right now. So we need to, you know, look at everything that comes in and calls itself a good group or, you know, Christian or whatever. It's really serious now. Unlike before, you could, you know, spot them a mile away, but right now they come in and no one's doing research on who are these people. And they slide in, they enter in, they creep in. And, you know, they're taking down churches. Listen, this group took down the SBC. This is what took down the SBC, this group. Now, you look at the Southern Baptist Convention and you wonder, you know, how did they fall for this? You know, listen, the door was open. Someone opened the door. They crept in. And they started to introduce all this about BLM. And it took down the church. It split. The people split.
Right.
You know, the true Christians left the SBC. And that's what they're promoting. They're promoting this. There's a reason for that. So, yeah, crazy. It's crazy.
Very crazy.
That's scary time.
Very crazy. Yeah. You spent all that money
preparing. So that's why we're
looking at. Yeah, you spent all that money preparing for the ministry, getting a good ministerial education, and you're stupid. You're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. There's no listen. I don't pull punches. You're stupid. You're lucky I didn't say retarded.
Exactly. Yeah. We're thrilled about that. Well, one of the things the pastors really need to be aware of. And if I could here for a second before we go into the audio, I just want to talk about something, a scripture we mentioned last week, or I mentioned last week. And it was 1 Corinthians 11:19. And this talks about observing the Lord's Supper. But the word stood out to me, and I believe that pertains to a broader area or a deeper area. And one of the things that Virgil and Daryl did in here is advise pastors, talking to pastors, how could you fall for this, you know?
Right.
What's going on? You need to look. And really looking, they're really emphasizing that people need to look around them and within the church of what's going on. So the scripture says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you.
Yeah, you want to share where the scripture is found for the saints? This way they can look it up in their Bibles.
Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians 11:19.
There you go. 1 Corinthians 11:19. Okay. Read that again for them.
For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you.
Right.
So that shows us that there's heresies. There must be heresies. There's going to be heresies. God allows them among us. But they which are approved will be manifested among the people. They'll come out of it. They'll step out of these heresies. You know, there's going to be heresies everywhere. And I think the approved will come forward. I really saw that really stood out to me as a totally separate thing than what was being talked about then, and I dug a little deeper on it. So Ellicott's commentary for English readers says, and I'm just going to give you a brief overall for this, for there must be also heresies. Better said, there must be also sects, and that's S-E-C-T-S. There's been many attempts to explain where the different lies between the division of the former verse and the sects of this verse. Now, there's former verses, obviously, that talk about heresies or whatever. From all we know of the Apostolic Church, it is clear that neither of these words can mean sects separated from the church, but parties in the church. Christ had foretold in Matthew 18:7 that stumbling blocks or scandals must arise in the church. And it's possible that our Lord on some occasion spoke of these as sects. Justin Martyr attributes the use of this very word to our Lord. And St. Paul possibly uses the word here because it was traditionally reported as having been used by Christ in some of his unrecorded utterances. Christ has foretold that in divine economy and permission, such divisions will arise. They are allowed because this is a state of continual judgment, and the existence of such offenses will be God's means of manifesting those who are void of offense and those who are not. I think that's important. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely.
On that commentary.
The commentary spot on, and I would give two scriptures as an example of that. There are two scriptures that can flesh that out, right? That can show us what Paul means there in 1 Corinthians 11:19. The first scripture is John chapter 6. John, and we'll start reading at John 6:66. Okay? It says, From that time many of his disciples returned and walked no more with Jesus. Okay, so
right.
Now there you see a split. There you see a faction. There you see a division, right? Jesus was teaching some things, and up to that point, those who were following him, those who were in his school, said, okay, he's cool. But now he began to teach some things which they said, we're out of here. We don't agree with this, you see? And what happens is when you start teaching the whole counsel of God and you start explaining everything about God, there may come a point when you hit a certain subject that people will say, well, we don't like this about God. See you later. So that's when God allows the manifestation to take place. Those who will continue in the faith and those who depart from the faith. So now you have two different factions, those who will continue with Jesus and those who don't. So it goes on to say in verse number 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go?
We go.
Only you have the words of eternal life. So you see, there's always going to come a time when something is being preached, and some people may say, we don't agree with that. We got to go to a new place. That's happened to me. I've been in a church, and if the pastor adopts Word of Faith teaching, now, I knew him for 10 years, and he never spoke Word of Faith, but all of a sudden, he's become a Word of Faith preacher. Well, I'm out of there. See you later. You no longer have my support. This happens all the time in the church. Right? I mean, there comes a point in time, and now this could be either good or bad. You leave because of good reasons, or people leave because they're rejecting the Lord. Now, here's another scripture, and it's found in the first epistle of John. The first epistle of John, the second chapter. And it says, little children, I'm starting at verse 18 of chapter 2. Little children, it is the last time, and you've heard that Antichrist will come. Even now, as there are many antichrists in the world, but you know it's the last time. Look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us.
Of us.
If they had
been
of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not
right.
of us. You see, so there comes a point in a time where people just part ways because,
yep.
You can only walk together unless you agree.
Right.
And that's where the factions come in. See, that's when this group says, you know what, we're going to go and start our own thing. We're gonna
yeah.
split, and we're just going to, because we believe what you have to hear, but this other stuff that you're teaching, we don't believe. And
okay.
so Paul,
right.
as well as John, as well as Jesus show that's when you get to see who's who and who's not, you see? And it
yeah.
all comes based on what? Heresies. The word heresy means an opinion. There's an opinion
yeah.
put forth, and of course we use it in apologetics. When I say Paula White is a
mm-hmm.
heretic, what I mean by that is
mm-hmm.
she has an opinion, she has a doctrine that's completely contrary to the teachings of Christ and the apostles. That's why she's
right.
a heretic. But
yeah.
in the Bible, in that verse in 1 Corinthians 11, is used as we're of this opinion. The Lutherans have their opinion on the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
The Presbyterians have their opinion.
Yeah.
The Pentecostals have their opinion. And it's all just differing opinions.
Yeah.
And that's where the word heresy is used there. But it doesn't mean heresy in a bad way. It just means we have a difference of opinion.
Yes.
That's
See,
it.
there's two different... Yeah, there's two different ideas on that. You know, one is okay, secondary issues, and the other one is,
right.
is heresy.
Very well put.
Yes. Well, you know, in the pulpit commentary, it says, they which are approved may be manifest among you, is similarity to St. John 1:2-19. And that's what you were pointing out, 218, weren't you on
right.
that?
Right.
Speaks of aberrations of false teachers as destined to prove that they do not belong to the true church.
There you go.
You know.
There you go.
And
at some point, they will manifest, right?
Like
take Francis Chan. Francis Chan graduated from the Master's College, disciple of John MacArthur, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now he's hugging
mm-hmm.
and kissing Catholics.
Yeah.
Okay? So all you had
yeah.
to do was give him time, and then he manifested
Time to
himself.
Manifest. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
I just felt that was a good lesson there, too, because
Absolutely.
Virgil and Daryl were talking about, you know, what we need to look at within the church and around us and who's who. I mean, they defined who the true church was according to Scripture.
Right.
And, you know, so if you have people within the church that are really promoting this and the things after we've exposed this, it shows you this is not a secondary issue. This is
No.
not one of those issues that whether you believe in the pre-trib or not, this is a major tenet of the faith that they, you know, reject. All of them. So one of them, and that's a heresy. So, yeah.
Correct.
So approved in there means standing the test, and the opposite seeming evil. And we'll give you James 1:3, 1 Peter 1:6-7. You know, approved is standing the test. The opposite, meaning evil, is reprobate. So that was 1 Corinthians 9:27, according to the pulpit commentary. But I found it interesting when I went up there. I thought, you know, to me, the scripture there was talking about the Lord's Supper. And like you said, it's an error, you know, or it's, you know, having differences, division. But yet it stood out because I thought, well, what is the broad meaning to that? It just, I
right.
knew there was more to that than just a statement. There was a, you know, a really broad statement there. And when I started to read the commentary, I understood how, you know, the two different words, or that, you
Absolutely.
Know, placed in two different places makes
right.
a major difference.
Right.
Right. One is, you know, splitting and secondary, and the other one's major heresy.
Right.
You know, so, wow, interesting. Anyway.
Yeah.
So
yep. This is why at the Bible school, if you notice in the outlines, we may be discussing one particular verse. Like this past week, we were discussing
mm-hmm.
Psalm 121. And
right.
I gave, I think it was maybe 15 or 16 different commentaries on Psalm
mm-hmm.
121. And they all said different things. And when they said different
yeah.
things, it just broadened the understanding. Right? You're just trying to,
yes.
because each author has a way of presenting his interpretation of the text, like the account
mm-hmm.
you just read on Ellicott, very eloquent
mm-hmm.
in his presentation of that verse.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you read somebody else and you say, I don't get it. But Ellicott
yeah.
was able to broaden the understanding. You
yeah.
see, and that's why we encourage people to read Bible dictionaries, to read commentaries, to, you know, to get yourself a good study Bible that has some good notes in there that will help you
yeah.
Get a broader understanding of the word. And going back
yeah.
to what you said about that word approved,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it was this week that just passed, but remember the other episode where they were talking about MacArthur's book and when MacArthur had
mm-hmm.
a title called Fool's Gold?
Yes, I do.
You see, right. And so the reason or the way you find out if you have gold or fool's gold is you have to put this item you have in your hands to a test.
Yeah.
Right? Everything
absolutely.
Has to be put to a test. If you want to find out if it's good heresy or bad heresy. Good heresy is
yep.
just a difference of opinion. Bad heresy is a doctrine of demons. See,
right.
that's how you tell the difference between gold or fool's gold. Everything.
Right.
See, and the haters, the real haters, because they call you a hater, they call me a hater, they say,
mm-hmm.
you guys are always critical. You're always judging. No, what we're doing
mm-hmm.
is we're approving or disapproving.
Right.
We have to find out
According
if what you're saying
scripture.
Is gold or fool's gold.
Right.
That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to a jury? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just looking at approved, and you're right, because in the Strong's, according to the scripture I gave you, it's approved, acceptable, tried.
That's it.
You tried
Jesus it. Jesus says, buy gold of me that is tried by fire.
Yes, exactly.
Right? That's what.
Yep.
So that's how you separate. That's how you separate the gold from the dirt, because when you pull the gold out of the mountain or out of the stream, now in order to separate the gold from the dirt that it's encased in, you have to
mm-hmm.
burn it in a burner, and then the gold
yep.
rises to the top and the dirt goes to the bottom, and then you scoop the gold up. And now you know that the gold has been purified when it's been put through the fire. It separates.
Yep.
And
yep.
So that's it.
Yeah.
And people who don't like to be scrutinized or have their sermon scrutinized or have their teaching
mm-hmm.
scrutinized have something to hide.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we have to try everything right now. And that was the point. I mean, Virgil was trying, and Daryl, and that scripture came to mind that we're going to have these heresies. I mean, you can expect them.
Right.
We need to find out what they are. That's the whole point of that. And that scripture, even though, like I said, it was talking about observing, which was a minor division there as opposed to a true heresy. You know,
right.
we have to make these decisions all the time now. So that's why we're doing that with this. So we can start the audio. Now, what did we do last week? Hang on. I think we stopped it at 124. Can we go to 115.58 because a point was being made? you know, that I think is important to add to the, I want him to finish the point.
Okay.
He was making.
Here it is.
Okay.
For whoever does these things is detestable.
That's a little too loud. Okay.
Just a little.
To the Lord. Now, if listeners didn't get anything from me from the past few minutes that I've been speaking, please understand this. God's word blatantly forbids divination, spiritus, and calling up the dead. But every time you hear someone saying the name of someone who's dead, which is what the founders of co-founders of Black Lives Matter do, through the practice of saying his name or saying her name, pouring libations when they do that, chanting the word I say after they pronounce the person's name, that's exactly what they're doing. They're calling up the dead. But God says whoever does these things is detestable to him. Thoughts on that, Omar?
I'm at a loss for words at this point, because anybody who's listening to this who has the title pastor should immediately upon hearing this bow their knee and repent to holy God, period.
Man.
If you've embraced this Black Lives Matter nonsense, this demonic nonsense, right now you should bow the knee and repent. There's nothing more to say than what's been clearly explained, that you can clearly go back and research for yourself to see that these women are female priestesses of a demonic religion. That's what we're dealing with. I wanted to add to what you shared, Leviticus 20, verse 6. If a person turns to mediums and necromancers, whoring after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. Verse 27 of Leviticus 20, a man or a woman who is a medium or a necromancer shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood will be upon them. This is an explanation to the people of Israel under the theocracy of God, what he felt and thought of this kind of thing. That's why I'm overwhelmed with just disgust at what you just walked us through and explained, to the degree that I'm challenging any pastor who is involved, maybe ignorantly so, in the embrace of Black Lives Matter, the Church of Black Lives Matter, you need to repent immediately. Let me look here. Jeremiah 27, verses 9 and 10. Do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your fortune tellers, your sorcerers who are saying to you, you shall serve the king of Babylon, for it is they who are prophesying to you with the result that you will be removed, that they will be removed far from you. This kind of thing that we're engaged in, this isn't a game. We were clear at the outset of this thing when we started with the Church of Black Lives Matter. We are watching our entire culture embrace this demonic ancestral worship. And we're doing so under the guise of so-called justice in the name of black men, right? And I've said on a previous episode that that Black Lives Matter only advances at the hands of black dead bodies, and they only prefer them at the point at which someone white is engaged in the murder. But as you've just walked us through, man, It should at this point, with this episode alone, I want to challenge every pastor who hears this to send this episode to everyone they know so that they're not caught up in something that will eventually separate them from God. This is I just feel the level of, of seriousness with what you just read and the magnitude of what Scripture says about this and what God says in His Word about even being associated with this kind of thing. With that, man, I'll turn it back over to you because we want to walk through, again, how this plays out in church culture. And so Darrell, I'll turn things back over to you.
Yeah, we and I say this with all the love in my heart. It's not going to come across like that, but I do say this lovingly and humbly. You know, the church, as professing Christians, as professing believers, professing followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have got to stop being so gullible about stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Thomas Brooks, when I quote him from his book, Satan's Precious Remedies for Satan's Devices. That hashtag, bro, that hashtag was the bait. I mean, it didn't take 5 seconds for the church to get hooked on that hashtag. Everybody was tweeting it. Everybody was sharing it. Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. But see, that was the bait that hit the hook. That was the bait that hit the hook. Those 10 essential tenets that I just read from the book about the Yoruba religion, it's like, I love what you said there, Omaha. This isn't a game. This is not a game. You mentioned in your monologue at the top, you've got the NBA has Black Lives Matter plastered in big black bold letters on basketball courts around the league. Black Lives Matter, the organization, is continuing to get tens of millions of dollars in donations from corporations, millions of dollars from celebrities. All kind of stuff is rolled under that one hashtag, but that's just the bait that has the hook. You know, as we keep discussing this, in this episode of the Just Thinking Podcast, Omaha, the Church of Black Lives Matter, what we're essentially talking about, fundamentally, when you really break it all down, what we're really talking about here is the marks that distinguish a true church from a false one. That's really what this all boils down to. What are the marks that distinguish a true church from a false church? As that great preacher and expositor, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, said, in his book, The Basis of Christian Unity, Lloyd-Jones said, quote, everywhere in the New Testament, there's an insistence upon true doctrine in contradistinction to false doctrine. That is only possible because doctrine can be defined and stated in terms and propositions. Martin Lloyd-Jones closes this quote out by saying this. He says, we have an objective standard by which we can test ourselves and others, unquote. So Lloyd-Jones is saying that in the Scripture, we have an objective standard by which we can test ourselves and others. But see, what I was saying to you earlier, Omaha, is that we have this doctrine of the love of God so twisted, so backwards, is so misunderstood that we don't even test anyone anymore. We don't test anyone. Oh, no. Well, let's just love on them, and let's just pray for them. Okay, right. So you're telling me, with all that the New Testament says about false teachers and how the church and believers are supposed to deal with false teachers and supposed to deal with false doctrine, we want to just rip that out of the Bible. We should just rip all that out and just love on them and pray for them. No, Lloyd-Jones is saying we have an objective standard by which we can test ourselves and others. All right? So again, what we're talking about here is how do we distinguish a true church from a false church? How do we distinguish the truth from error? Okay? Now, with those words from Lloyd-Jones in mind, okay, I want to quote several other stalwarts of the faith, and I want to start by quoting.
All right, so before he quotes anybody else, comment.
Yeah, I would just say, just in the scriptures that I read, if I can find that between a heresy and a sect, you know, off a scripture that was talking about the Lord's Supper, you know what I'm saying? Pastors
should
be able to get up there and do some research and find out the difference here of what is approved and acceptable and what isn't, what's evil, you know? Don't you think?
Well, look. Let's look at the church as an example. Who are the pastors out there that do apologetics? Well, Chris Roseboro, right? He would be one, right? Now, I don't agree with everything Chris Roseboro stands for, but he does apologetics, right? I mean, he's a Lutheran minister.
Lutheran.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
The other one would be John MacArthur, right? He would be another one. The other one is your friend in South Dakota,
J.D. Hall.
J.D. Hall, right?
Montana. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know of another one?
That's really hard hitting like that. I would call J.D. Hall more of a polemicist. Like, he's a slugger. You know, he goes in there for the fight. But, yeah, he's an apologist, but he's also, you know, a polemicist, which I think there's a different. I think they're in the ring, you know, with the slugfest. And the apologist is just, you know, they're correcting the doctrine all the time. And yet, you know, someone like you, there's apologists and polemicists, and I think you're both. There's very few that are both. There's a lot of people that talk about it, but not too many that get in the ring, you know. So can I think of other ones? Yeah, there's a few that I can think of, but not anyone that I think, Chuck Baldwin, believe it or not, in Montana.
Right.
He's quite he's more of a polemicist, I would say. And I'm not sure, I don't think he's totally reformed. I think he's more evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he will go in for the slugfest. He's, you know, more of a polemicist.
Now,
let me
think. It would shock our audience, right? It would shock our audience in this notion that we should have been able to name 1,000 pastors.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
in the job, you have to fight off the enemies of the faith.
Exactly.
but only a handful full of preachers or pastors actually do that. The rest want to hold hands with the enemy and sing Kumbaya, like our brothers were saying. Let's just pray for them and love them. Let's just love them. Really? You're going to love a rattlesnake that's right next to your child? You tell your child, don't move. And you hear the rattlesnake's tail, and what are you going to do? Hello, Mr. Rattlesnake. Would you mind just going off into the... No. You take out the shotgun and you blow the head off of the rattlesnake. That's what you do. You don't say, I love you, Mr. Rattlesnake. You're wonderful, Mr. Rattlesnake. Maybe we can have lunch together, Mr. Rattlesnake. No, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you see... The sad thing is that every pastor is supposed to be doing it, and almost all of them don't. We could only we had a hard time naming a few pastors, and it's part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to be like that 24/7, but you're like that when the need arises.
Right.
When the bear
it's
shows
a whole
up.
Package. There's a whole package here.
Correct. So... we have a hard time. We have a hard time finding pastors who will do it when it's needed.
Right.
That's the sad. That's why we're in the condition that we're in. That's why the Southern Baptist Convention ain't worth two nickels, because the pastors in the pulpit aren't worth two nickels.
And we got to say here, wait a minute, he's fighting, these two, Daryl and Virgil, are both fighting. They're both in their slugfest, because this isn't going to help them as far to advance forward. To have a lot of, you know, people.
Right.
But I'm just going to say the people out there, the sheep that are starving for good teaching and stuff, they'll be there. They'll be there for them.
Right, right.
But you know.
But again, these are the pastors. See, you have people in the church, pastors, who don't want to jeopardize their pension.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, listen, they have a raise coming up. They don't want to mess with that. They've already sold out. That's it. There you go. See, a guy like me, I'm in the doghouse all the time. I don't care. I was born for the doghouse.
Oh, neither.
I can tell you. Yeah. So that's it. I don't care. You're not popular. I don't care. Popularity, please.
Right.
Please.
Well.
Right. I mean.
Yes.
It's just the way it is. It's just so you're here for the sheep, and that's it.
Well, this is the point. This is so dangerous. It's going to, I mean, your heart should be in a place that this is so dangerous that it's going to take souls and put them in hell. Think about that.
Right.
Think about it. That should bother anyone. That should drive you crazy, not to tell, to shout it at the rooftop. You know, get out. Get out of this place. Get out of this building. Get away from these people. Get away from this movement. You know, you should feel that in your heart. You should feel stressed to do that. So, I mean, I don't know if that's just how I feel about it, but this is so serious that we're looking at members within our own church saying, this is what's going to happen. This is what they're being led into. This is pulling them out of the fire, technically, because they're going into the fire with this. If they get involved in these practices, you know, you've got to be able to stand there and say, you've got to get out of there. You know, some people are going to want to anyway, and we can't do anything, but you do have an obligation to at least inform them what this is about. That's all we ask.
Right.
You can't make them see anything or do anything, but we do have a responsibility to stand up and say something about it.
Correct.
And to tell
Correct.
The truth. That is our job, to tell the truth. And to
That's
expose
it.
These things. That's it.
And
I mean,
and not seek the approval of man.
Yeah.
Stop seek the one that you need to seek approval of is Christ. That's it. This thing about, you know, well, I don't want to mess my invitation to the next conference. Who cares? You know?
Exactly.
I want to sell books. Who cares? I want people to, you know, the bigger my platform, the more books I'll sell. You sold out, dude. You just sold out.
Yes.
I say this all the time. I have books I can't give away. I have books I can't give away. They're free. My wife says, you know, how many books did you give away this month? Zero.
Well, they don't want the truth. You got to have a love for the truth.
Right.
If you don't have a love for the truth, it's not going to work, you know? You could write a sleazy gossip book about somebody, and you wouldn't be
It'll
able
sell.
To keep them in stock.
Right. That's it.
You know? But tell
That's
the
it.
Truth, and it's like, no, I don't, wanna,
don't
you know.
Want to. Don't want it. Don't
yeah.
want it. Yeah.
Learn
it.
Something.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep,
terrible. I'm going to tell you, he does in this coming up mention J.D. Greer from SBC in kind of a halfway decent light.
Okay.
J.D. Greer is a wolf, but he's trying to be somewhat kind. He brought the SBC. He helped bring the SBC down. You know,
I don't know who that gentleman is. I don't know who he is.
Oh, I do. I could write a book on the things he's done. So, he helped bring the SBC down, and he's trying to be halfway polite about it because they're both were SBC. And but, you know, I just want to say that before we continue.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Talking about what distinguishes a true church from a false church, and Black Lives Matter is a church. It is a church. Because why? Because Black Lives Matter is a religion. Okay? It's not just a hashtag. It's a religion, folks. Listen to what J.C. Ryle says in his book, Holiness. I'm quoting here. Quote, "The church is made up of all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, of all who are really holy and converted people. It comprehends all who have repented of sin and fled to Christ by faith and been made new creatures in him. It comprises all God's elect, all who have been received God's grace, all who have been washed in Christ's blood, all who have been clothed in Christ's righteousness, all who have been born again and sanctified by Christ's Spirit, all such of every name and every nation and people and tongue compose the church. This is the body of Christ. This is the flock of Christ. This is the bride. This is the Lamb's wife. This is, quote, the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, unquote, of the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. This is, quote, the blessed company of all faithful people, unquote. This is the Church on the Rock, unquote. That was J.C. Ryle from his book, Holiness. Theologian Louis Burkhoff.
That J.C. Ryle, he is so masterful.
Oh,
he
I know.
So, that guy is so brilliant. He's just, he's awesome. Awesome.
Yes.
Okay, here's Louis Burkhoff, the great Reformed Calvinistic theologian.
Yep.
In his systematic theology, he defined the church this way, quote, "The church consists of those who are partakers of Christ and of the blessings of salvation that are in him. The Reformed conception is that Christ, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, unites men with himself, endows them with true faith, and thus constitutes the church as his body," unquote. That was Louis Burkhoff in his systematic theology. Dr. John Frame, in his systematic theology in writing about the church, says this, quote, "What is the church? Essentially, the church is the people of God in all ages. Notice that the church is people. Notice that the church is people, not buildings. Although it is right that the people have buildings in which to meet, the church is not, however, just any people. It is the people who are in covenant with God through faith in Jesus Christ," unquote. In his book, Truths We Confess, A Systematic Exposition of the Westminster Confession of Faith, the late Dr. R.C. Sproul writes the following about the church. Quote, "The word church derives ultimately from the Greek word kyrios, which means Lord, the title given to Jesus. The church then, etymologically, consists of, quote, those who belong to the Lord, unquote. The people of God are those who have been purchased by Christ and are owned by him. The Greek word ecclesia, from which we get the word ecclesiastical, is commonly translated church and means literally those who are called out from the world, referring specifically to the elect," unquote. That was R.C. Sproul from his book, Truths We Confess, A Systematic Exposition of the Westminster Confession of Faith. The 19th century Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon said this, quote, "A church may have a very short muster roll, and yet it may be very dear to God, who thinks more of quality than of quantity, more of obedience than of numbers," unquote. Spurgeon also said this, quote, "The church is not formed to be a social club to produce society for itself, nor is it to be a political association to be a power in politics, nor even to be a religious confederacy promoting its own opinions. The church is a body created of the Lord to answer his own ends and purposes, and it exists for nothing else," unquote. Now, I believe those words from Ryle, Burkhoff, Frame, Sproul, and Spurgeon are crucial for us as Christians to understand and take to heart today, because Black Lives Matter is a spiritually dark and demonic organization from which the church, which is to say, true believers in Jesus Christ, must distance themselves, with the exception, of course, of praying that those who have embraced that organization and its worldview would have the veil of spiritual darkness removed from their hearts and minds through the preaching and power of the gospel. It's like the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. All right? So we want to pray for them that that veil of darkness over their minds and hearts is taken away by God's grace. Nevertheless, there still are those within the church who, instead of distancing themselves from Black Lives Matter, have encouraged believers to attach themselves to Black Lives Matter through a bit of verbal sleight of hand. Okay, a little verbal sleight of hand going on. That is, they do this by suggesting on the one hand that you can endorse the idea that Black Lives Matter without endorsing the organization Black Lives Matter.
See, if I was talking to the brothers, right, if I was talking to them,
mm-hmm.
I would say to them, maybe we want to adjust the title a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this. I'd say, okay, let's go back to R.C. Sproul's definition. R.C. Sproul points out two things. One is kurios, Lord. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Black Lives Matter is not a church in the sense that Jesus was never their Lord. So
right.
in that sense, it can never be a church. Number two, BLM cannot be a church because BLM has not been called out. BLM does not form the elect. BLM has not come out of the world. BLM is in the world. So based on the fact that Jesus is not their Lord and that they did not come out of the world but are in the world, that cancels them out from being a church. So let's think about a title. Because you
mm-hmm.
can't even call them an apostate church. Because an apostate
mm-hmm.
church means one who was
once
with us. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They were once, so you can't even say, so I would have entitled the show The Pseudo Church of BLM.
Oh, good point. Yes, yes, exactly.
You see, because
yeah.
they're a fake church. They're a bogus church.
Yeah, counterfeit.
They were never the church. They're, you know,
yeah.
they're trying to be a church.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to mimic the church, but they were never the church. They were never part of
right.
us. They're an outside group that is run by demons. So,
right.
That would be my little 2 cents.
So that makes them a sect, right?
Yeah,
is that a sect?
Right, they're like the Muslims, right? They're like the Afro-Cuban Satanist over there in Cuba
mm-hmm.
when they're cutting the necks of chickens and sprinkling the blood and dancing to the African drums and, you know, dancing around and going into frenzies and rolling their eyes back and having demons come inside of. That's what they are.
Yeah. Yes,
that's,
exactly.
You know, that's what they are.
Yeah,
that's
scary.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good point, though. That's right. There is a definition. Since that's one of the things we're talking about is defining, like, if it's a secondary or a major tenet of the faith. That's another way, and they were pointing out that we need to find, you know, start discerning who is the church and who is not the church. You know,
right.
We need to find out what the church is and what it isn't. We need to define all that stuff. Now, that was, you know, great that you made that definition of what the true church is. There were two elements missing to make that a true church right off the start.
Right,
and
right.
You're right.
That,
I would
again,
call it a pseudo.
Yeah, and again,
good point.
The title, the Church of BLM, is just missing one
mm-hmm.
thing. All it's missing is
yeah.
the word pseudo.
Yeah,
that's what that,
exactly.
You know, that's all it's missing. And that's, you know, I would say to them, you may want to reconsider the title and just put in their pseudo, because they were never, it's like Southern Baptists, the Southern Baptists. Okay, one day we're going to say they're apostate. Why? Because they were once with us. They once held the tenets of the faith. Now they're so far gone. Right?
Yep.
They're so far gone. That, you know, that's who they are now. They're apostates.
That they went independent. That the believers in the Southern Baptists went independent away from the SBC. They still remained, you know, Baptist.
They still reformed in their theology. Right.
They still
hold on to the Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689, but they're not part of you know, the Southern Baptist Convention. They say, see you later.
Right.
Alligator.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
For example, J.D. Greer, the president of your beloved Southern Baptist Convention, Omaha, in an online speech he gave in June of this year, urged Southern Baptists to, quote, say Black Lives Matter, unquote. Now, in an article dated...
Okay, so I know you want to jump in that one.
Well, at least he said it.
Yeah.
Your beloved.
Right.
Because SBC, we just talked about that, separating the independent SBC and the SBC.
Right.
Yeah. I like the way he said that, yes. So we'll hear what, you know.
Sure.
I think he did a good job there.
Yeah.
Dated June 10, 2020, on the website BaptistStandard.com, J.D. Greer is quoted as saying this, quote, "We realize that, especially in a moment like this one, we need our brothers and sisters of color. We know that many in our country, particularly our brothers and sisters of color right now, are hurting. Southern Baptists, we need to clearly say it. As a gospel issue, Black Lives Matter. Of course, Black Lives Matter. Our Black brothers and sisters are made in the image of God," unquote. That was J.D. Greer, as quoted in an article on the BaptistStandard.com website. Now, the article goes on to say that, quote, "While he," that is Greer, "used the phrase Black Lives Matter, which has become a widespread motto of civil rights since the shooting death of Trayvon Martin in Florida 8 years ago, Greer noted in his speech that he is not aligned with Black Lives Matter, the organization founded in 2013, unquote. Now, though I will give credit to J.D. Greer for framing his assertion that, quote, Black Lives Matter, unquote, within the context of Genesis 1:27, that black people, as are all human beings, are created in the image of God, I must call him to task for attempting to separate himself from Black Lives Matter as an organization. Now, I say that for two reasons. One, the only reason anyone is even saying the words Black Lives Matter is because of the organization Black Lives Matter. Okay, to suggest that you can say and that you can embrace the phrase Black Lives Matter while disassociating yourselves from the organization that originated that phrase is to be woefully naive. Okay, reason number two. The second reason I must take to task J.D. Greer and those who would employ that same kind of dualism as he, which I just pointed out in reason number one, is that he assumes that when the organization Black Lives Matter says Black Lives Matter, that the organization Black Lives Matter defines the word matter through the same biblical hermeneutic that he does. Now, needless to say, they do not. They do not mean matter in the same biblical hermeneutic as you, J.D. Greer. Listen, when the organization Black Lives Matter says Black Lives Matter, they don't mean that in the context of the universal concept of the Imago Dei, as is established in Scripture in Genesis 1:27 and again in Genesis 5:1. In fact, you can peruse the entire Black Lives Matter website. I mean that literally. You can peruse the entire website at blacklivesmatters.com, and you will not find a single Bible verse, not one, nor will you find a single reference to Scripture at all. Not one. Not only that, you also will not find a single mention of God anywhere on their website. Not the biblical God anyway. Not the God who Jesus described in John 17:3 as being the only true God. But that's not surprising given the spiritual and ideological worldview to which the three co-founders of Black Lives Matter subscribe. That's why I took the time earlier in this episode, Omaha, to exposit what the Yoruba religion teaches. The Yoruba religion, which Patrice Cullors, Opal Tomete, and Alicia Garza all subscribe to. Okay, now our problem here, Omaha, is that as Christians, we're so concerned with what the world thinks about us that we tend to so easily latch on to such worldly fads as a Black Lives Matter hashtag that we don't think to apply the requisite and prefatory levels of spiritual discernment so as to determine if what appears on the surface to be a laudable and commendable message is actually biblical or not. And now what's happening is that because we've been so easily sucked into supporting the Black Lives Matter hashtag, other hashtags have arisen, and now we're debating amongst ourselves which of those hashtags we should be supporting or not supporting. There's hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag Blue Lives Matter, hashtag White Lives Matter, hashtag All Lives Matter. You know, all those hashtags, Omaha, remind me of one of my favorite cartoons. It's the one where, you may have seen this one growing up, it's the one where Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck are trying to trap each other into saying which hunting season it is, right? Daffy Duck would say, it's rabbit season. And Bugs Bunny would reply, it's duck season. And back and forth they would go, rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season, duck season, each one trying to get Elmer Fudd, who was the hunter in the cartoon, to shoot the other one. You remember that cartoon, Omaha? But that's what all these hashtags remind me of.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck going into each other, rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season, duck season. You know, but here we are again. We've taken the bait and while being totally oblivious to the hook. Thoughts, man?
Man, there's so much good stuff in what you shared. Kind of going back to the proper definitions of what is a church, what is the true church, and what is it made up of, and how can we define a true church from a false church? And so you looked at a number of different people from Sproul to Spurgeon. You looked at J.C. Ryle. You looked at Louis Berkhof and walked through how they defined a church. And again, I want to encourage our listeners to go back through and take a listen and take some notes and kind of walk through that. I also want to take to task what J.D. Greer said from a different perspective. I thought in this instance that you were kind in offering just some benefit of the doubt with regard to the fact that he used he separated himself. He attempted to separate himself from the Black Lives Matter movement by saying Black Lives Matter.
Right.
So that was a good thing. What you said was you framed issue of Black Lives Mattering that J.D. Greer framed that in the Imago Dei in Genesis 1:27, and you praised that, but you said that the problem showed up when he tried to distinguish himself from the organization. And,
right.
And again, the case that we're making is you can't separate those two things.
Right.
There's
exactly.
No way. Once you embrace one, you receive the other as a result. I want to walk back through that portion because here's my line of reasoning. Even the idea of Black Lives Matter.
See, there I slightly disagree with them.
Yeah.
because when I am in an African American church, right? And they are afraid of police brutality. I will stand with them and say African American lives or Black lives matter. They matter to me as a person, as a human being, right? They matter to me, and I know they matter to God. So when I'm in front of that group, or let's say if I was in Afghanistan, where some of our brothers right now, Christian brothers, are being persecuted by the Taliban, I would say to the American people, if I was over there, I would say to them, you know, Afghanistan lives matter. We these are Christians, right? We should be
mm-hmm.
be supporting these. So that doesn't mean that that I am following a hashtag or a movement, because this
mm-hmm.
is what I would say to my two brothers right here. Black Lives Matter do not own the phrase Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I'll give you another example. When Benny Hinn says, "I have the anointing," I don't stop using the word anointing because he's desecrated it. I don't
mm-hmm.
stop using the word anointing because Paula White has made trash of it. They don't own. They don't
right.
have a copyright to the word anointing. They don't have a copyright to that.
Right.
It's just like when
you
Apostle
say it
Paul,
and they say it, it's two different things. That's the
right
two
and,
different
and,
meanings.
And correct. I'm not. You know, you have Cat Kerr and or all the others claiming that they're prophets. I'm not going to stop
mm-hmm.
using the word prophet,
right?
Because they have tarnished it. I'm not doing
right.
that. There are prophets in the Bible. There are real prophets in the
mm-hmm.
Bible. So,
mm-hmm.
or some organization out there has, prophets hashtag. I'm not going to,
mm-hmm.
well, your brother, don't you know that that group over there owns it and they've made a career of it and they're using it? I would say, well, listen, I mean, if you guys don't want to make the term or feel comfortable with the term Black Lives Matter, that's you guys. But I don't have a problem. And by me saying that Black Lives Matter does not mean that I'm part of Black Lives Matter or that I'm naive
right.
of their agenda.
Right.
It's
right.
like marriage. Look, the gays have taken over. This is marriage. Marriage between a man and a man and a woman. So I'm going to abandon the term marriage because the gays took it over and they hijacked it.
Right.
You see, because if that's the case, we're going to have to start abandoning everything. We're going to have to
right.
start seeding all these terms. We're going to be left with nothing because the apostates are just coming in and just taking over every term.
Right.
And we just
that's
have
it. They're
to say,
They're hijacking Christian, you know, commonly known and
right.
used Christian words. That's what they're doing and changing the meaning of them.
Right.
To turn people off.
Right.
From it.
See, there,
you know,
there are three words in the title: Black,
mm-hmm.
Lives, and Matter. I'm not ceding
mm-hmm.
those three words to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they may define the word black this way. Well, I go to the Oxford Dictionary, and the Oxford Dictionary
mm-hmm.
says this is what black means. I'm not ceding
mm-hmm.
that word. I'm not letting them hijack it, take it from me. Because if that's the case,
right.
I'll be left with nothing as a preacher. I'll be left with nothing.
Right, right.
So
I think the point that they were one of the points they were trying to make is, first of all, when J.D. Greer come in and said, okay, I believe this, but I'm not a part of the organization, I think what they were trying to get at, in one sense, is that he started out with the narrative that there was a separation between humans, you know, a part of the human
right.
race.
Right.
And that's
right.
what I think, what I'm hearing, and their objection is his whole argument started, the beginning of it, the narrative was, okay, there's a separation here, you know, to begin with, in the church.
Right.
You know, and it's a matter of being part of the human race. So when you start out and say, well, okay, it's the black church or whatever, which we do say. I mean, we're just using terms here. But
right.
in reality, it is a part, we're all a part of the human race. We're all a part of the true church is diverse. It's,
correct.
And we're all a part of that church. That's where I think he was going with that. I'm
right.
just going to be honest, because he started with a divide between people in his statement. You know, J.D. Greer. And J.D. Greer, I'm going to be honest, I don't think he was ever with us like Beth Moore.
Right,
you know,
right.
I don't think he was ever a part of the church, and I think he's a jackass, okay? That's my – I'm not as polite.
Right.
I'm sorry, but had it not been for him – I mean, he – part of his teaching one day, he was standing up, and I caught this on an audio because J.D. Hall caught it, where he was dancing, you know, doing a butt dance in front of
a bunch
of women.
Oh my
at a
goodness.
Teaching. I mean, what do you call that? What do you,
jackass.
You know, is that a pastor?
Jackass. That's
it.
No. You see, I go back to what they did before. Black Lives Matter is now a church, okay? So what did they do? They said, no, first of all, let's go to Bishop Rouse. What did Bishop Rouse say to churches? Then they went to R.C. Sproul. What did R.C. Sproul say to churches? They went to Louis Berkhof. What did Louis Berkhof say? You see, they can define something, but we have to define it also. We cannot let them take the word church.
Exactly.
We can't let them do this. Because if we let them take over every word, we're not going to be left with any words.
Right.
We're not gonna we're not gonna be left with I'm not giving them the word black. That I'm using that word.
Yep.
The same thing with the word lives. I'm not letting them take the word, and I'm not gonna let them take the phrase Black Lives Matter. I'm not letting them take that phrase. You don't own that. You don't have. You don't. That's not yours. You didn't invent those three words, and you didn't invent the phrase. Because long before Black Lives Matters came around, we can prove that there were people marching, and Dr. King was saying, "Hey, Black Lives Matters." Now, maybe he wasn't using those same terms, but that's what all the marches were about in the 1960s.
Yep.
So we can't cede. We cannot cede to them. We can't say you can have. You know, we're gonna let you, because if that's it, we're gonna be left with nothing.
Yeah,
we'll be left
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll
we've been doing shows for a long time about the hijacking of words, and it's, you know, that's what's happening, and it's getting worse. You know,
it's just getting worse
all the time. Yes.
It's like the word bishop.
Yeah.
The word bishop's in the New Testament in so many places. But the black bishops in the church following Rome have hijacked. So now what do? We come in and say, no, that's not what a bishop is. And we're not giving you that. We're not letting you get away with it. That's not your word. The way they hijacked it is they have archbishop, they put the arch in front, they put suffragan bishop, they put diocesan bishop, they have adjutor bishop, they put all these titles in front of them. No, we're not letting you get away with that. That's not your word. You don't have a copyright to that word. We're going to fight you tooth and nail over that word. Because, again, if we let them do it, we won't have anything. We'll be calling ourselves, you know, nothing.
Yes.
We won't
That's
have any words to use. Yeah. So
because,
I'm not ceding them anything. Yeah.
Yeah, if we do that, I mean, this is one of the things we need. And I think that you're doing that in your teachings and in your shows. You know, you're always doing that. You're taking back these words because a lot of people, after hearing – like, or reading your book, would say bishop. The minute they hear bishop, they would think sometimes the negative, but you're not presenting that. You're showing what a real bishop is and that they have actually hijacked the word and the way that they use it. There's two sets here. There's light and darkness.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's two different meanings. What they mean about prophetic, you know, they have a different interpretation of prophetic.
Right.
They have a different interpretation of anointing. They have a different. So what they're trying to do is get people familiar with their way of their interpretation of this or their narrative. That's what they're trying to do on what this is. So, we need to start fighting here to take these words correct.
Right. Now, here's
the twisting.
Yeah, here's another side to the coin. Let's say if someone says to me, are you going to fight over the phrase we're going to go to another level. I said, no, you can keep that. I never use we're going to go to another level. Why? Because that's not in the Bible. So in the church, you know, in the church they're saying, all right, saints, let's praise the Lord. Let's take the service to another level. I'm not into that phrase. Why? It's not biblical. But if you, if there's something biblical, I'm going to fight you over it because I'm not going to let you hijack it. If you take it, look, it's like when I was a kid, and, of course, you know, every kid gets an allowance from his parents to go buy, you know, something during snack time. And in class, there's a bully. In class, there's always a bully in class. If I let the bully take my nickel, I don't get my two pretzels on during lunch break, right? So I'm not letting you take mine. I'm going to fight for the two pretzels. I may lose my two front teeth, but I'm going to have two pretzels. That's it.
I mean,
so
we
you
use
see,
common words. I'll say things like take it up a notch, take it to a different – I'll say that because it's something that we've said our entire life or something. But I'm not meaning that in a biblical sense.
Correct.
They're
correct.
Taking biblical words and distorting them. They're
right.
You know.
Sure. I'll tell my wife, boy, you took this recipe to another level. I'm not using it spiritually. I'm just using it in the kitchen. You know, I'm complimenting her, right?
Yeah.
But in the church, I don't use that term in the church when it comes to seeking the presence of God. Why? Because that's a New Age. They're using it as a New Age concept, right?
Yes.
And we've spoken about that. We're not. There are certain phrases that the NAR uses that we are not sympathetic with. Why? Because those are New Age concepts. I'm not going to fight over a New Age concept. I'm going to fight over a biblical concept.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep your New Age jargon, but I'm going to fight you on the biblical terms. That I'll fight you on.
Right. Absolutely. We need to take these things back. Okay.
That's it.
Mattering. Anchored in Genesis 1:27 is not, it's almost true. You know that, and I think it. I can't remember. If it was Spurgeon who said it, but the difference between knowing what's right and almost right. That's what discernment is called. I think it was Spurgeon who said that. Discernment is knowing the difference between right and almost right. And what happens in that instance when we use the term Black Lives Matter and we attach that phraseology to Genesis 1:27 is that it's almost right, right?
Yeah.
It's almost right. And so it's easy to give it a pass. I don't want to give him a pass, especially with the role that he plays, with the platform he has. He's got one of the largest denominations in the world, arguably, in the Southern Baptist Convention, and it's critical in our day and time that we don't land on what's almost right, but that we land on that which is right. And what I mean by that is Black Lives Matter is a non sequitur. Black Lives Matter is a non sequitur. It's meaningless from this standpoint. It lands on nothingness in this way.
You know, when George Floyd was murdered, because that's what he was. He was murdered, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember being at a restaurant with a friend of mine. I have an odd friendship. There's a guy in my town that he owns a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's owned this movie theater since 1976. And I became his friend because I would take my kids to the matinee, to the afternoon show, like when there was a kids movie out.
Right.
And he was short of help. And I would say to him, hey, do you need some help? He says, really? You would? Yeah. And so I would go behind the counter and I would say, okay, what do you want? And the popcorn. So I would get the popcorn, put it in the thing. And so I developed a friendship with this guy, and I said, here's my number. If you ever, you know, if you're ever short, call me and I'll show up. So a few times he's called me and he says, listen, that show is over. Theater One needs to be cleaned up. And so he gives me a leaf blower. And what you do with the leaf blower is You go to where all the chairs are, and you just keep blowing the popcorn all the way down to the front where you sweep it, right?
Right.
I've done that a few times, and he and I have a great relationship. He can call me anytime. In fact, I could even be going to the movies myself, and he's tight. You know, he's overwhelmed because he doesn't have enough help. I'll step behind there, and I'll start, you know, helping him out. I don't even need to ask permission. I just go back, and he so appreciates it. And, of course, I always pay for my ticket. I don't want anything free. He's a great guy. The movies, the tickets are so cheap that I feel like I'm robbing the guy every time I go to the movies. They're so cheap, right? I mean, it's a little country, but it has two huge theaters, okay? So we have a good friendship. Now, he's as white as they come.
Mm-hmm.
He's as white. And he said to me, we were having breakfast one morning, and he was saying to me, it's a shame. It's a shame that white police officer did that to that black man. And he said to me, I want you to know that in my heart, Black Lives Matters. And, you know, I know that he really meant it.
Yeah.
Because when I go into his office, he has a movie. He has a movie poster in his office. And the movie poster is the movie Remember the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever seen a movie on race relations, that's the movie you got to see, Remember the Titans. It's about a black coach taking over a white team and leading them to a championship. And
I'm
that guy, Remember the Titans. It is a great movie. It has Denzel Washington in it. A fabulous movie. And this guy has that movie. Now, remember, he owns the place since 1976, and he can have whatever movie poster he wants in his office. That's the one movie poster because it talks about races coming together to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I'm a different race than he is, and we're buddies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by him saying to me, you know, Black Lives do matter, I'm not associating him with BLM.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So by someone saying that, I don't automatically say they've been duped by BLM or they're in BLM's corner or they're naive. No.
Right.
Somebody can really say that and mean that from the heart.
Yeah.
You
well,
see?
That's how we, you know, talked about in the beginning. You know, there's an emotional drive to this, you know, behind us. And, I mean, it would be silly for anyone to think that the Black Lives don't matter. You know what I mean?
Correct.
I don't get that.
Right,
you know, so I don't know where who said they didn't, that anybody's life didn't matter in the beginning. You know,
It's just like, if someone has already cornered the hashtag All Lives Matter, that doesn't change the fact for me. I don't care what that organization represents. It doesn't change the fact for me that in my heart, all lives matter.
Lives matter. Yeah, I've even said that myself.
Right. I mean,
all lives matter.
You know, someone can take it, they can copyright the term, they can turn it into a business name or whatever. That doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change the fact that that is my sentiment concerning all people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if their organization represents something crazy, that doesn't mean I represent something crazy. They do. I don't.
Right. Right.
So again, I don't want to cede anything. I don't want to just, you can have it because you got it legal. You had an attorney, copyright it for you. No, you don't get to keep that term. You don't get to keep it.
Right.
Because the fact is that all lives do matter. Whether you twisted the meaning to that or not, just like church. Okay, you know, when Anton LaVey incorporated the Church of Satan June 6, 1966, just because he used the name the Church of Satan doesn't mean I'm giving up the name church. I'm sorry.
Yes,
I'm not.
Exactly.
You see? Yeah. And I mean, we can go down a path where now we're just giving, again, I hate to repeat myself, but we can start giving up everything to these loony people because, you know, because they're using a term. No.
Right.
I'm Pentecostal. Now, Carlton Pearson says I'm Pentecostal, and I say I'm Pentecostal. I'm not giving him the term because he's an apostate. I'm not ceding that to him. No, we're going to fight over that term. We're going to debate over that term. So, okay.
Right.
We still have a few minutes here.
Okay.
The no one has made the statement that black lives don't matter.
Right.
Who's making that argument in the culture?
Right.
Good point. Who's looking at George Floyd and saying, "Hey, that was deserved. He was black."
Right.
If someone's to say that, we would know that they were crazy. The vast majority of American culture would know that that was absurd on its face. There's no one that's saying black lives don't matter. Right, the vast majority of Americans don't. They believe that black lives matter, that black people matter. There's no systemic racism. There's no systemic racist plot against black people as a whole to suggest that black lives don't matter. So the conclusion that black lives matter is a non sequitur. No one believes that black lives don't matter. So why are we saying that black lives matter?
Because there's a segment in society that believes that black lives don't matter.
Yeah, there's white supremacists.
There is a segment of the population.
Yes. Yes.
And let me just go a little further. There are people in Wall Street who believe black lives don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who are these people?
Yeah.
Well, these are the people who invest in the prison system. You know, the prison system is a ticker on Wall Street. You can invest in prison.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now,
terrible.
Who are the majority of the people who wind up in prison? I mean, if we're honest.
Yep.
Okay. How about Margaret? You did a show on Margaret Sanger, right? How she was.
Right.
Right? And then Hillary Clinton got her award. She got the I remember those shows that you did. Do you think that Black Lives Matter to Margaret Sanger? No, they did not.
No.
She wanted to use it as what? Population control.
Absolutely.
I mean, am I speaking a lie, or did you not do a show on that?
Yes, I did.
So yes, there are people. There are people in our now. Of course, they're not as vocal today as they used to be because the times have changed. But behind closed doors, what do you think they're doing? They have a master plan.
Yes. Look,
right?
Do you think that really, looking at George Soros and all these people, do you really think that they believe that Black Lives Matter? And
no.
They're funding all this. They're
right.
They're funding this.
Right.
So,
and the reason why Soros is funding it is because he's a Marxist and they're Marxists.
Exactly.
Right?
But see, the group Black Lives Matter, the leaders of that group, black lives don't matter. And they're black.
Correct. Sure.
So it doesn't have to be, you know, it's the mindset behind it. Mindset behind it. Of Marxism.
Let's go to the black church. Do you think black lives matter to the black bishops? No, they don't matter. Why? They exploit their people financially.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. It's black on black crime. Black preachers.
So now we're getting into good versus evil again. Exactly what it's. That's what it boils down to.
There you go. So when again, you see, we have to look at it from all sides. There are still people, and look, Reverend Ike was black. Reverend Ike was black. Now you couldn't tell by his hair because you know he had his hair, you know, done where it looked straight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Reverend Ike was black. Who was he conning? Black people.
Right.
He was conning black people. He got rich off of black people. Do you think he cared about Black Lives Matter? Mm-mm.
Not
so
at
that
all.
Still exists today. That still exists.
Yes.
The Word Network. The Word Network is owned by a white guy. Who does this white guy have on his show every day? Black preachers. Black preachers mm-hmm. that he uses to scam people. What people? Black people. You see,
mm-hmm.
black lives don't matter to certain groups. They don't.
Right.
Why? Because they're exploiting them.
Right. And this is the thing. The bottom line is we have light and darkness. We have good versus evil. You see?
Right.
This is how the Bible lays it out for us. It's
Correct.
Not people groups as much as it is evil. You know?
Absolutely.
We're surrounded by evil. And I don't care what color a person is. You can have evil white. You can have evil black. You can have evil Hispanic. You can have, you know, it doesn't
sure.
matter. God doesn't separate things like that. He is no respecter of persons.
Right.
You know?
You just made a great point. Hispanics, look at the coyotes down there in the
mm-hmm.
southern border, right? What do? They exploit
right.
these poor immigrants, these illegal
exactly.
This is Hispanic crime on Hispanics. And
that's
and
what
say,
I'm
we're
saying.
Gonna
we
bring,
have to.
Yeah.
We have to point it out.
That's it.
No,
that's
I'm just
it.
Saying we need to define again what is what the problem is. It's
there. You go.
It's sin.
There you go.
I mean,
there you go.
That is the bottom line.
Right.
There's no other bottom line to this.
Human trafficking, right? How they take little kids, teenage trafficking,
yes.
the trafficking of children and pornography. All of that is evil. And it must be denounced. Why? Because all lives matter. Elder
yes.
abuse, that matters. Right? When Jesus talks about the widow being conned by the Pharisee, he devours her estate. He devoured all her money. That needs to be
yeah.
denounced. And like you said,
yes.
it's not really about color. It's about evil. You hit it right
yeah.
on the head. It's evil. This was a
yeah.
great show. We stopped it at the where do we stop this thing now? Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. We're in trouble.
Okay. I'll find out where we stopped it. So, great show. We still have a lot to
Thank
go because we didn't even do 15 minutes of this thing. We still
what?
Have so much to
oh,
go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll try not to talk so much.
Yeah. No. Listen. We need to discuss these things.
Yes.
We need to talk, and we need to hash these things out. We need to have good discussions. That's why people tune in to your show, because we're discussing
mm-hmm.
these things. We're not just
we
rubber
stamping
everything. Yeah. No. We want to talk about it, and we want to have the freedom
yes.
to talk about it. That's what,
yes.
you know.
That's the important thing. That's
so you
it.
Have the last word, my sister.
Well, I would say thank you for tuning in again. And we'll dig through this. We'll get to the bottom of this. And please, remember, anything you find out here, pass it on to your loved ones or anyone caught up in this. That's all you can do. And that's why we're doing this series. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next week. Have a great day. Bye.
I found Jesus
He was holding on to me. I was broken and couldn't stand on my own 2 feet. He said a word and broke my chains. I was free to breathe again. My life was saved by the love and blood of Jesus. When I found Jesus, he was standing over me. I was down and out and living on the streets. And there were times I could have died, sure, but the Lord was by my side. I didn't know it then, but I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. He took the weight off my shoulders. He came and gave me a rest. He gave me peace from my troubles. Oh Lord, I have been blessed. When I found Jesus, he was walking next to me. On the lonely path of my mind made destiny. He must have looked into my eyes, saw the tears and heard my cries. But where I stood, I was saved by the blood of Jesus. Empty promises all the world had forsaken me. Left me in a wilderness. It was Jesus who rescued me. He called my name. I would never be. Just one touch from the King of Kings changed everything. When I found Jesus, he was heavy on my heart. I was lost for words and didn't know where to start. All I know is I believe, but more than that I did deceive. For my sins were paid by the love and blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. He threw the weight off my shoulder. He came and gave me rest. He gave me peace from my troubles. Oh Lord, I have been blessed. Oh Lord, I have.